is to understand who I am. It was funny because Mom and I were driving here this morning and she was talking about how we always come. We come before God as a kind of groveling. That's not what God wants us to do. That's not who He created us to be. He created us as His children. And children should never grovel before the parents. They come. I said, it was on Thursday, I said, I get home from work and Gabby, she could be all muddy and have glitter all over. Oh, the worst is glitter. Oh, the worst is glitter. And she'll come and she'll hug me. And a dad, you know, you could go, oh, yuck, don't hug me. You're muddy and dirty and got glitter all over you. No, that's not what a dad does. A dad hugs his child. And that's God. We come to Him and we got sin all over us. And He doesn't go, oh, no, wait, go clean up before you come and touch me. He just hugs us. That's God. That's who God is. He said, I already took care of that. Remember, Jesus, He died on the cross. Blood covered all that sin. So if you're staying away from God because of your sin, that's already been taken care of. So that's good. The world does that a lot. I can't come to God because I've got sin. You know, when I clean up, then I'll come to church. The point of church isn't to come to church. The point of church is to fellowship with the body and to be edified by the Word. It's not just to go to church. It's not just a thing. You could have church in your house. It says where two or more are gathered. You could have church in a Starbucks, even though that's an evil company. You could bring some Jesus to that evil company. It's good. So get in the Word. Fellowship with one another. It's good. That's so important. I think through my life of just people who come to me and they'll say weird things. I'll be like, you've been spending a lot of time by yourself, haven't you? Yeah, how do you know? Because you're saying some weird stuff. So that means you've been in your own head and you haven't been fellowshiping with. That's our job, is to curb people. And I love it. I tell people, like, we had a guy here one time. He's not here anymore. He didn't like the fact that we didn't start on time. But he... He came to me, he goes, you guys, he rebuked me. He goes, you guys don't ever start on time. And you go, what? I said, you know what? You're right. I said, but we've been trying to fix that for like 40 years. And every time we change the time the church service starts, it just moves again. So, hallelujah. You just have to love us as we are. Oh, he was a precious brother. I don't mind being rebuked. I love it. I love it. Please, if I'm doing something that doesn't please God and I can't see it, please tell me. I want to know. That's true. Amen. I love this guy. All right, chapter 27 of Acts. This is the culmination of Paul's journey. Remember, Paul wrote a goodly portion of the New Testament, and God knew what he was doing. Remember, his friends kept telling him, don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. Don't go to Rome. They're going to kill. Don't do it. Don't go. And he's like, I got to do what God tells me. This life is very physical for us because we have a physical body and the world, you know, the cold, hot, you know, anger, whatever. It's around us. But we forget to think about the spiritual thing. When God tells us to do something, He has already prepared the way in the Spirit. It's whatever needs to happen, whether it be money or whatever. You know, whether doors open or doors closed, God has already prepared the way. We don't often think in the spiritual sense. We just think in our carnal sense because that's what we see every day. So he said, I've got to go because God told me. I'm going. I know it's going to happen, and that's okay. It's not going to happen until the perfect timing. You know, you can even show up in Jerusalem or Rome, and you're not going to die until God's ready. If God's not done with you, you're not going anywhere. He has a purpose. So, and it's like sometimes I think if God took me home today, I'd be fine. But I know He's not going to because God has many more things for me to do. I've seen it. He shows me in dreams. I got stuff to do. So it's good. Don't be so hung on to this body. This is just temporal. There's a sign in the painting on the wall, and it says, "We're born from above." That's the old youth room. I wanted them to know that. We're born from above. We're not living under the old law, the old covenant. The old covenant was the law of Moses, and it was the That's the law of sin and death. Hey, you be perfect or you don't get to heaven. There's a lot of people that try. Remember the Jewish people said, we'll try. We're going to do it, Lord. You tell us to do it, we'll do it. And none of them ever did it. I look at it, I go, man, I'm not even going to try. There's no way I could hit that bar. That bar is way too high. Perfect? And then Jesus made it even higher when he came. He said, even if you do it in your heart, even if you did it in your heart, you've done it. You hated your brother, you might as well have murdered him. That's crazy, Jesus. That's impossible. He's like, yeah, well, God is perfect, and if you want to be with him, you got to be perfect. But, hey, I came, and I was perfect. And guess what? I am in you, and you are in me. No, Jesus, that's not fair. I'm wicked. He goes, yeah, but I say it's fair. It's my deal. It's my deal. You don't get to tell me what my deal is. I'm telling you what it is. You're in. Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, chapter 27, verse 1. I'm reading my weird Bible, so sorry, guys. I love this Bible. Ian gave me this Bible. It's the complete Jewish Bible. It says things more plainly to me. I don't know. I read it, and it just comes alive. So I like it. Once it had been decided that we should set sail for Italy, they handed Paul and some of the other prisoners over to an officer of the emperor's regiment named Julius. We embarked in the ship from Adramantium, about to sail for the ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and put out to sea, accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we landed in Sidon, and Julius considerably allowed Paul to go visit with his friends and to receive what he needed. It's good. Got friends everywhere, remember, because he went all over the place and he preached the gospel. Peter's job was to go to the Jews, and Paul's job was to go to the Gentiles. We learn in Romans, it's good. In Romans it says, was Abraham circumcised before God said he was righteous? He wasn't. And why is that the case? Because Abraham's thing was for the Gentiles and for the Jews. Because the Jews are, you know, the Jews thing was all about circumcision. And remember when Jesus first left, and they were like, well, all these Gentiles, they need to be circumcised so they can get in on the deal. It's like, no, because it's no longer that. It's of the heart. It's what's your heart. It's like the centurion who trusted God. He said, I know what power is. You don't even have to come to my house to heal my servant. I know you can just say it and it'll happen. It's incredible. It's all about the heart. It's what he believed. Abraham to believe. I mean, Abraham had a good life before God came along. And he's like, hey, I see you're here worshiping this garbage idol God thing that doesn't really do anything. I got a new plan for you. You wanna come do my plan? It's gonna be hard. But it'll be an adventure, you know. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. I mean, if I said this on Thursday, if God showed up to you and just started talking to you, you go, wow, there's this guy. He just showed up and he started talking to me. He's God. I think I'm going to listen to him. Even though I've got this really nice cush life where I just hang out in tents and, you know, all my servants bring me everything, you know. But God showed up and said, hey, I've got a different plan for you. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And then he became old. He was old. He was already so old. He's already almost 100. He's like, hey, God, you said I'm a father of many. I'm 100, but you know what? You're God, and you said it. And even though my wife, she's old too, you said it. I'm going to believe it. And God was like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what righteousness is. You just take this carnal world, and you go, but God said it, so it doesn't matter what this carnal world is. If God said it, it's going to happen. If God tells me I'm going to have a baby girl who's got blonde, curly hair, and she shows up 11 years later, God kept his promise. That's crazy. I had to wait 11 more years after God said so. It's just like Abraham. They had to wait a while. God, remember, they Ishmaeled it up. They messed that thing up. They were like, yeah, let's take matters in our own hands. God, maybe we didn't hear him right. Maybe he said, you got to take matters in your own hands. It's okay. We have all those beautiful Muslims because of that. The Arabs. The Arab people are here because of Ishmael. God loves them too. And they're coming to Jesus in the droves. God shows up to them in dreams. They're praying to Allah, and they're like, Allah, are you real? God, show up to me. And Jesus shows up in a dream, and he says, hey, I'm Jesus. I'm the real God. And they're like, wow, Allah never did that for me. He never showed up. He never said hi. He never said I love you. He just said, you know, gave us all these garbage things to do. All right. He went to visit his friends in Thessalonica. Putting to sea from there, we sailed close to the sheltered side of Cyprus because the winds were against us, and across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia, and Pamphylia, and then we reached Myra and Lycra. There the Roman officer found an Alexandrian vessel sailing to Italy and put us aboard. And for a number of days we made little headway, and we arrived in Cnidus, only with difficulty. The wind would not let us continue any further along this direct route, so we ran down along and sheltered along Crete from Cape Salamone. And continuing to struggle on hugging the coast, we reached a place called Pleasant Harbor near a town of Lycia. Since much time had been lost, and continuing the voyage would be risky because it was already past Yom Kippur, Paul advised them, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be a catastrophe, not only with a huge losses to the cargo and the ship, but losses of lives as well. That's good. Remember, Paul was a smart guy. He's like, hey, guys, he touched the first thing the ship captain would say, you're going to lose your cargo. And immediately the ship captain would be like, yeah, we're not going anywhere. That's how I make my money. That's how I win the bread for the household. And then to the rest of the people, he's like, and people are going to die. And the rest of people are like, yeah, I don't want to be one of those people that dies. So they were going to listen. However, the officer paid more attention to the pilot and the ship's owner than to Saul. Oh, no. It's not good. So this morning I was, Mary wasn't feeling good initially, and so she's like, you need to go to church. And immediately the Holy Spirit said, call your mom and see if she can take you. I was like, nah, I don't want to bother her. I'll just go get in my truck, and I'll drive my truck to church. And I got in my truck, and my truck would not start. I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit, just like these guys didn't listen to Paul. And so I called my mom, and she's like, yeah, I'm already partially the way to church, but I'll come back and get you. So it was more of a burden because I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit and call her immediately, because she wouldn't have left the house. I'd called her immediately. So, hallelujah. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Even if it seems dumb, I don't want to bother my mom. The Holy Spirit knows what's going on. He knew my truck wasn't going to start this morning, and to call mom. So, however, the officer paid more attention to the pilot and the ship's owner than to Paul, and said, moreover, since the harbor was not well suited to sitting out the winter, the majority reached the decision to sail from there in a hope for reaching Phoenix, another harbor in Crete, and wintering there where it was protected from the southwest and the northwest winds. Then a gentle southerly breeze began to blow, and they thought that they had their goal within grasp, and so they raised the anchor and started coasting by Crete close to the shore. But before long, there struck up a full gale of the northeast, the kind they call an Evercurlon. I don't know what that word is, but I'm sure it's awful. The ship was caught up and unable to face the wind, so they gave into it and were driven along. And as they passed the lee of a small island called Caud, they managed with strenuous effort to get control of the lifeboat. They hoisted it aboard and then fastened cables tightly around the ship itself to reinforce it, fearing that they might be run aground on the Cyprus sandbars. They lowered the topsails and thus continued drifting, but because they were fighting very heavy weather, the next day they began to jettison non-essentials. Now, there's the cargo Paul was talking about. And the third day they threw the ship's sailing equipment overboard with their own hands, For many days neither the sun nor the stars appeared while the storm continued to rage until gradually all hope of survival vanished. You know, when God has a plan, he has a plan. That doesn't seem like God's plan right now. They should have stayed where they were at. Paul had some other stuff he was needing to do. But these guys are like, well, no, we can make it. It was then, when they had gone a long time without eating, that Paul stood up in front of them and said, you should have listened to me and not set out from Crete. If you had, you would have escaped this disastrous loss. But now, my advice to you is to take heart. Ah, it's good. You know, this morning when I bring up that story again, I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. I didn't stress out about it. My truck wouldn't start, and I didn't get angry. Oh, my truck won't start. Jerk truck, you know, blah, blah. I just had peace. That's what we do with God. You just have peace. And when you have peace in your mind, you can hear him. If you're all stressed out, if you're all angry, you cannot hear God because you got all this junk, all this emotion flying around your head. But if you're at peace, and he's like, just call your mom. Okay, mom, can you come pick me up? Yeah, I'm already at Oakland, but that's fine. I'll turn around and come back. That's the way we should be about all the adversity that comes in our life. Just be at peace so you can hear what God is saying to do. God already knew. God knew what was going to happen here. He knew about the storm, and he knew, you know, they should have listened to Paul. But he has stuff for Paul to do still. He's not ready for him to be killed. You know, he already has, he has lots for him to do. He's going to write all these next books in the Bible so that we could have them, so that we understand. I was thinking the other day, it would be funny. Sometimes the churches nowadays need a letter from Paul. I think we need a letter from Paul. Oh, man. For that very night, they stood next to me. There stood next to me an angel of God to whom I belong. So he belongs to God. I belong to God, Paul. Paul says that. Isn't that awesome? We belong to God. Can you say that when somebody comes against you? Hey, what are you doing? I belong to God. It's not a prideful thing. It's not like, yeah, respect me. No, it's like, hey, I belong to God. I'm precious to him. And you know what? He loves you too. That's how we need to act. You don't get all hoity-toity. You just say, you know what? He'd love to love on you as well. He'd love to bless you as well. I hate it when I see people that don't want anything to do with God. I'm like, you don't know what you're missing. You have no idea what you're missing. You're missing the greatest thing you could ever encounter. A relationship with the creator of the universe. For this very night, there stood next to me an angel of God to whom I belonged and to whom I serve. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you have to stand before the emperor. So he's like, you're not going to die. I have other plans for you. Look, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. So men, take heart. It's good. If you're going to be in a boat that's sinking, have the man of God be there that still has other purpose. The boat ain't going to go down. Or if it does go down, everybody's going to be saved. It's good. For I trust God, and I believe that what I have been told will come true. Nevertheless, we have to run aground on some island. It was the 14th night. Can you imagine that, being on a storm for 14 nights? Man, that would have been scary. Unless you had a word from the Lord. You know, it was like Jesus kept saying that. You know, every time the Pharisees would come after Jesus, he'd be like, it's not my time. I'm not worried about it. You guys can't get me yet. It's always funny. The Bible would say something like, and he slipped away. And they're like, where did he go? That's awesome. We need to know that when God gives us a direction and something to do, we can walk right through the doors of the jail or whatever we need to do. He will open. I mean, it's Paul and Silas. Remember Paul and Silas? Gabby has a little book about Paul and Silas in the jail, and they're singing, and all the doors fall down, and the jailer's going to kill himself because all of his inmates are gone. And they scream out, hey, don't leave. We're all still here because we trust God. I don't know how they tricked all those guys into staying. The doors are open. Hey, guys, don't leave. I know you're in jail, but don't leave. I mean, that's incredible. That's God. Can you imagine being able to convince a whole group of guys not to leave the jail, even though the doors, I mean, you'd think, this is a sign from God, the doors fell open, and that we can get out. You'd want to leave. You'd think, this God's giving me a blessing here. But God said, don't leave. And that whole jailer's family got saved. The whole family. That's awesome. And it was the 14th night, and we were still being driven about in the Adriatic Sea. When around midnight, the sailors sensed that we were nearing land, so they dropped the plumb line and found the water to be 120 feet deep. A little farther on, they took another sounding and found it to be 90 feet. Fearing that we might run into the rocks, they let out 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight to come. At this point, the crew made an attempt to abandon ship, and they lowered the lifeboat into the sea, pretending that they were about to let out some anchors from the bow. And Paul said to the officer and the soldiers, "Unless these men remain aboard the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved." And then the soldiers cut the ropes holding the lifeboat, and they let it go. Oh, they finally started listening to him. He's like, the angel told me, hang out with me, you're going to be okay, because I still have purpose. And just before daybreak, Paul urged them all to eat, saying, "Today is the 14th day. You have been in suspense, going hungry and eating nothing. Therefore, I advise to you, take some food. You need it for your own survival, for not one of you will lose such as a hair from your head." Abi, can you imagine saying that? You're in the middle of a storm, and an angel shows up and tells you something, and then you tell them, hey, stay on the ship. You're not going to lose a hair on your head. There'd be a tiny bit of doubt in the back of your head. But you know what you do with that doubt? You rebuke it. You go, that's not from God. That's from the devil. God said, not one of you will die if you stay on the ship with me. And when he said this, he took bread, and he blessed it to God in front of everyone and broke it and began to eat. With courage restored, they all ate some food for themselves. And altogether, there were 276 of us on board the ship. And after they had eaten all they wanted, they lightened the ship by dumping the grain into the sea. And when day broke, they didn't recognize the land, but they noticed a bay with a sandy beach, and they decided to run the ship aground if they could. And so they cut away the anchors and that left them in the sea, and at the same time they loosened the ropes that held the rudders out of the water, and they hoisted the foresail and the wind and headed for the beach. And they encountered a place where 2 currents met and ran the vessel aground on a sandbar, and the bow struck and would not move, which, while the pounding of the surf began to break the stern apart. And at this point, the soldiers thought was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim off and escape. But the officer, wanting to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan, and he ordered those who could swim to throw themselves aboard the first and head for shore, and the rest used planks or whatever they could to find from the ship, and thus everyone reached the land safely. Man, what an adventure. And after our escape, we learned that the island was called Malta. Oh, man, a lot of things happen on Malta. It's good. God put that little island there. You know, when God already knows every time, you know, Paul told them, hey, don't leave here. We need to do something. We know we're not going to be safe. And they left anyways, but God had already planned everything. He knew what those men would do. He knows from the beginning of time everything you're going to think, say, and do, every action you're going to make. He already knew that they were going to do that, and there's a little island there. Can you imagine when, after the Noah's flood, he's like, I need to make this little island of Malta because Paul is going to shipwreck here one day. You know? If its people showed us extraordinary kindness. It was cold, and it started to rain, and so they lit a bonfire and welcomed us all. And Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and was adding them to the fire when a poisonous snake driven out by the heat, fastened itself to his hand. And the islanders saw the creature hanging from Paul's hand and said to one another, "This man must be murdered. He's going to be dead. He's going to die. Even though he escaped the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But he shook the snake off his hand into the fire and suffered no harm. That's crazy. Jesse was bit by a snake a couple years ago. That was awful. You should have shook it off into the fire. Suffered no harm. They waited, expecting him to swell up suddenly and fall down dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing that nothing amiss was happening to him, they reserved their opinion and said that he was a god. You think, man, we know what those snakes do. That's not normal. Nearby were lands belonging to the governor of the island, whose name was Publius. And he received us in friendly manner and put us up for 3 days. Now it happened that Publius's father was lying in bed and sick with a fever attacks and dysentery. And Paul went into him and prayed and placed his hands on him and healed him. And after this happened, the rest of those on the island who had ailments came and were healed, and they heaped honors on us. And when the time came for us to sail, they provided the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we sailed on a ship from Alexandria to called Twin Gods, which had passed the winter at the island. And we landed in Syracuse and stayed there for 3 days. And from there, we arrived in Regium by tacking. But after 1 day, a south wind sprang up and made it to Puteoli on the second day. And we found brothers there who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we went on towards Rome. The brothers were there, and we had heard about the brothers there had heard about us and came as far as the Appia Market and three inns to meet us. I don't know how far that is, but it sounds far because he's mentioning it. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. And when we arrived at Rome, the officer allowed Paul to stay by himself with a guard soldier. And after 3 days, Paul called a meeting of the local Jewish leaders. And when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, although I have done nothing against either our people or the traditions of our fathers," because remember, that's important to the Jewish people, is tradition. That's the problem, is so many churches are in tradition. We have a tradition, we do this, and it's not according to the Scripture. Traditions are fine, but that's not your gospel. It's not your God. It's not your religion. That's just fun things we do. You know, we have a agape feast once a month now. That's a tradition, but that's not in the Bible. God didn't say to do that. But he did tell us to fellowship with one another. "Brothers, although I have done nothing against you, our people, or our tradition of our fathers, I was made a prisoner in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. And they examined me and were ready to release me because I had done nothing to justify a death sentence. But when the Judeans objected, I was forced to appeal to the emperor. Not that I had any charge to make against my own people. This is why I've asked to see you and to speak with you, for it is because of the hope of Israel that I have this chain around me." He's going to be put to death, but he's interested in them knowing the truth, interested in them knowing the gospel to our last breath. It's funny, my dad would always say he didn't want to ever be tortured. He couldn't handle that. He'd give up Jesus in a second as long as he was tortured. He didn't mean it. He would not give up Jesus. I think I'm the opposite. I'm like, bring it on. And maybe when it's happening, I'd be like, I think I might change my mind. But I'm like, I know the story of Stephen in the Bible. They were stoning him to death, and he was looking to heaven, and he had the look about him of an angel, and he said, "Father, don't hold this against them." He didn't even feel it. They were hitting him with stones. He didn't feel anything. All he could see was the Father in heaven and Jesus sitting at his right hand. And they said to him, "We have not received any letters from you from Judah, and none of the brothers who come from here has reported or said anything bad about you. All right. News is slow back then, you know. Has to go by boats and things like that, and there were lots of storms about. But we do think that it would be appropriate to hear your view, the views from you, yourself, for we all know the sect that is the people that everywhere speak against. And so they arranged a day with him and came to his quarters in large numbers. From morning until evening, he explained the matter giving a thorough witness about the kingdom of God and making use of both the Torah of Moses, or the law of Moses, and the prophets to persuade them about Jesus. Jesus is all through the law and the prophets. That's so important. I had this thought one time. It's funny because I don't know if it's biblical, and I've said it before, but when Jesus went up with Peter and John and James, I think it was James, and Moses and Elijah showed up. Moses is the law and Elijah is the prophet, and then Jesus was the high priest. I don't know if that's significant, but I thought that was interesting. The law, the prophets, and the high priest, all there. The Torah of Moses, the law of Moses, and the prophets to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, while others refused to believe. It's hard. I mean, your whole life you've been taught one way, and somebody comes in and says, hey, it's actually this way. It would be hard to let that go. You would have to really be versed in the Word and go, you know what? That scripture makes sense now. I understand why God put that in the Bible. It totally points to Jesus. You're right. But they were interested in just keeping the laws because, you know what? Most Christians just want to be good until they go to heaven. That's as far as they want to go. And that's sad because God has so much more to offer them. It's like you're in a toy store and you just pick out one toy, you know, and God's like, no, I have a whole store and you can have anything you want. I don't know why I picked toy store. Home Depot. You can have any tool you want. Some were convinced by what he said and others refused to believe. So they left, disagreeing among themselves. And after Paul had made one final statement, the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, spoke well and saying to your fathers through Jesus the prophet, or Joshua the prophet, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing but never understand, and you will keep on seeing but never perceive. Because the heart of this people has grown thick, and their eyes and their ears barely hear, and their eyes have been closed for fear that they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, so that I could heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. Paul remained 2 whole years in this place, and he rented for himself, and he continued receiving all who came to see him openly and without hindrance, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, or Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? 2 years he was there. And they didn't stop him. They couldn't stop him. It's like, it reminds me of the story of Brother Andrew. And he was in China, and he was driving a car full of Bibles in his trunk, and God said, put them all in the back seat. And he's like, God, they're going to see the Bibles. He's like, put them in the back seat. He drove right up to the stop, and they looked in his car, and they looked in the back seat, and they didn't see anything, and he just drove right through. I mean, that's awesome. When God has a plan for you, you cannot be stopped. They should have immediately stopped him. You're not allowed to teach this here. You can't teach this here. But nobody stopped him. He just spread the when you're speaking the truth, people know it. Even if they don't like it, they know that is truth. Remember when they said about Jesus, they said he teaches with such authority. And then after Jesus went home, the disciples went out and they're like, aren't these fishermen? How are they speaking with such authority? Because that's the same Christ we have in us. That's us. We need to speak with authority. Never say, I believe. Say, I know. I believe, because if I say, I believe, that means somebody else can say, well, I believe this. So you believe that, and I believe this. Whatever, you go. No, I know. There's no equivocation. I know who God is. I know that everything in this book is accurate. So we need to, as I've been reading through Romans, it's showing us who we, I'm talking about my personal reading at home. It's showing us who we are. It was neat. I was talking to Raul, that he always calls me and, hey, can we chat for a minute? He's iron sharpening iron. He wants to run stuff by me. And he was talking about, I think what I started with, he was talking about us recognizing who we are. We have sin in us, but that's not who we were created to be. We look at our sin and go, that's who I am. And Jesus says, that's not who you are. That's not who I made you to be. That's just the false you that you fell into. You are created to be a child of God. You are created to reach the nations. You are created to do miracles. You are created to be a son of God. That's the false you, the sinful you. That is not who you are. And I have come into you, and now start acting like who you are. Start thinking about thinking. Start knowing who you are. That because we can get stuck there. We can go, well, I'm just this wicked guy, and Jesus came, and he took pity on me. No, he was excited to do it. That wasn't pity. He's like, man, I created this Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve messed it up. And I can't wait to get back and just walk with my people daily. And so Jesus came and he died and he rose again and he sits at the right hand of Father God Almighty so that we could just spend time with him daily. That was his intention, for us to be kings and queens, for us to rule and reign with him. That's who we are, not the sinful nature. That's who, because of Adam. That's what we were because of Adam, but that's not what we were created to be. All right, hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this beautiful weather.